Some children have come to the rectory recently with their parents, and so I kind of joked around with them and said if they would like to have a job working in the rectory, and what would they charge and what could they do? First, I'll go in age, starting at the lowest. The first grader, a little boy, said that he would charge $1 an hour, which was pretty reasonable. And so I said, well, what can you do? He said, I can eat. He was eating some french fries at the time, so I guess that influenced it. Then a third grade girl said that she would charge $100 an hour. And then she went down to 50 and then finally compromised at $10 an hour. And I said, well, what can you do? She said, nothing, I'll just sit around. And then the fifth grade boy protested that he was too young to work. But then he said he would charge $1 million an hour and couldn't come up with anything that he could do, but his mother suggested taking out the trash. So out of the mouths of babes, we hear the funniest things. When I was a kid, my mother and father had a magnolia tree in the backyard, and those are good climbing trees. They have low branches and lots of branches, and they're very close to each other, so it's very easy to go right on up to the top. And I used to do that. They don't have that tree anymore. But there is one down the road from my mother's house, and I walk in her neighborhood when I go for my day off, and I've been tempted to go up that tree, but I could see the newspaper, you know, priests caught up in the tree. It would not look good. Well, Zacchaeus in our gospel today went up a tree in order to see Jesus. He was short, and the crowd was around Jesus, couldn't see him, so he wanted a different vantage point. And first we have to realize that Jericho was a very rich town. It was kind of a crossroads of all the roads leading to Jerusalem and going across the Jordan River into the eastern area. And so there were a lot of taxes. Every road had a tax and tolls and things like that. And whatever you carried with you was taxed and so forth. And so, number one, he's a tax collector. Nobody really likes to pay taxes, right? But we have to do it. And in those days, the Romans would employ Jewish people to pick up the taxes. And whatever they could get more on top of that, that's what they got to keep. So you can imagine that this system was left open to abuses and extortion and things like that. And so not only was Zacchaeus a tax collector, but it says he was a chief tax collector. So he was the tax collector of the tax collectors, and certainly he had extorted them as well. And so he didn't have any friends. Nobody liked Zacchaeus, right? And so you can imagine in the crowd, they certainly would have wanted to elbow him and kick him and really get back at him for whatever he had done to them. But he runs ahead and he goes up this tree, and it's a very leafy tree, and maybe he was thinking he could hide in there and then see Jesus and who this famous person was that he had heard all about. And there were sycamore trees that were planted along the roadways because they did give shade. And they had a fruit within them that didn't taste really good, so it was called the food of the poor. And it had to be really worked in order to make it ripen and so forth. And so Zacchaeus goes up this sycamore tree. And there might be a little bit of play on words in here, because the word for extortion is very similar to the word for sycamore. So where Zacchaeus was physically was where he was spiritually, that he was cheating people. But Zacchaeus' name means righteousness. So where he was also points to what he was called to be by name. He was called to be righteous, as all of us are called to be righteous in the eyes of God, right? And so Jesus sees Zacchaeus up in the tree. Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, he's always concerned about wealth and oppression of the poor. And the prophet Amos in the Old Testament was a dresser of sycamores, and he preached to Israel at a time when they were very rich and very complacent about their faith, and they were cheating the poor. And last Sunday, we heard about the tax collector and the publican, right? And Jesus told that parable to the Pharisees because they were feeling that they were righteous and that those sinners over there were the bad people. And what Jesus wants to say is that we're all really sinners. We're all lost to some degree or another. We all need the mercy of Almighty God. So the irony here is that not only was Zacchaeus seeking Jesus, but Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. Jesus sees a truly repentant heart. And that's what he saw in Zacchaeus that nobody else saw. Everybody else thought he was just a loss. Like, no, he couldn't be saved. He's done so much bad. And yet Jesus saw potential there. And so he said, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. Almost as if to say, you're not the one who belongs on a tree. I do, on the cross. He says, today I want to have supper with you. So more than just a physical supper, he wanted to dine with his soul, right? He wanted to be in communion with Zacchaeus. And the Lord wants to be in communion with us as well at all times. So sometimes we have to go up in a tree or do something out of the ordinary in order to see a different aspect of our faith. And 2 weeks ago, I did that. Every year I have to make a retreat, but 2 weeks ago I made the ACTS retreat, A-C-T-S. And it is certainly a different experience, very similar to Curcio, with maybe a little softer approach. And it truly did bless me and has blessed lots of people who have made it. I'd like to share with you a little bit more about it because we are bringing it here to Ville Platte. Started in 1987, three Curcioistas, three men who had made the Curcio, wanted to make a new retreat that would be a little bit more parish-based and build up the community within the church parish. So most of the people who make the retreat are usually from the same parish or at least the same area. So it does that, and they go back into their parishes. They know their fellow parishioners much better. And so these three men got together, and they developed talks and sacramentals and a schedule, just like Curcio's, from Thursday night to Sunday lunchtime. And they got the approval of their pastor. This was in San Antonio, Texas. And the archbishop. And the archbishop said, just one thing, I want you to make it open to the non-Catholics. And that they have done that. From the very beginning, it has been open to non-Catholics to go and attend the retreat as well. So it's been very evangelistic, bringing people into the church. But when it came to name it, they didn't know what to name it. So they prayed, these men that were on the committee. And one of them had a dream. And he dreamed of a book of the Bible, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. So when he read them, the first verse of that, 42, said, the disciples devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. This is right after Pentecost, the sending of the Holy Spirit. To the teaching of the apostles, to fellowship, communal life, to the breaking of the bread, which meant the Eucharist, and fourth, to prayer. And so he told the rest of the committee that, and they felt that this was a true inspiration, and so they named the retreat ACTS. And they turned each letter, the whole word, into an acronym. A is for adoration, there's your prayer. And C is for community, there's your fellowship. T is for theology, there's your devotion to the apostles' teaching. And S is for service. They definitely want to be outreaching to those who need to experience more powerfully the Holy Spirit in their lives. So the retreat has been going on and spreading around the United States and already into some other countries. And I've just recently heard that Louisiana is the fastest growing area around the United States for the ACTS retreat. So St. Anthony Church in Eunice, my former parish, two parishes ago, are going to mission us until we can get on our feet and have enough men and women to run our own retreats. But they'll have to mission us first. So it's coming soon. The first men's retreat will be March 16. March 16. Women, September the 28th, starting on those dates. Men, November the 30th, 2017. And another women's, February 2018. Got to get on the books at these retreat facilities real early. And we're already getting pushed to get the ones for 2018 and 19 fully. So I'm real excited. I think it's going to do great things for our parish, as it has done for St. Anthony's in Eunice, Holy Cross in Lafayette, Pius X is going to start, and St. Mary Magdalene in Abbeville. So it's starting to really mushroom around our Diocese of Lafayette. But it's a beautiful experience of just a real intense communal life and a great sharing. And then they bring it back to their parishes, and it just has an incredible effect upon the parish. So you might see me wearing this bracelet. At the end of the men's retreat, they give this bracelet that is made of fishing swivels. Thank goodness no hooks attached to them, but fishing swivels. And it's a sign that we are fishers of men, that we're to go out and be outward reaching and bring souls into the church. So look forward to this. It's kind of focused on those who are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. It doesn't exclude the older or younger, but that's kind of the main group that they are focusing on. And so let us get excited about this and sign up for it. We will have some men that will be coming and make some pulpit talks in the near future, so that people will be encouraged to sign up and see people just like yourselves who have made it and been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.